My mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You know, obviously we live in a diet-conscious age. Probably for the first time in history, people choose to be thin. In previous ages, thin people generally were poor people. And they were thin because they couldn't afford to buy or barter enough to eat. Those who were better off were heavier. And it's no surprise as you look at those Rubenesque female figures, for example, of the Baroque and Renaissance painters. Heaviness was a sign that you had it made. You were rich enough so that you could eat properly. Heaviness was a sign that you were prosperous. Not so today. Today you can walk down the aisles of virtually any grocery store and see row upon row of so-called light foods, that's L-I-T-E, foods which are calorie reduced. Doctors tell us to watch our weight, to watch our intake of sugar, watch our intake of salt, cut down on red meat, and the list is endless, and sometimes subject to revision. I guess it makes for a healthier life, and there's nothing wrong with wanting or needing to shed a few pounds. Diet and exercise make for a healthier life. But of course, there's a downside to the emphasis on thinness. For example, while supermodels are pictures of thinness, the downsides in those who look to them as role models are eating disorders. Thus, teenagers, and especially teenage girls, but now increasingly boys as well, strive for an unrealistic degree of thinness. And this striving can become a psychological and physical obsession, the result of which can be illness or even premature death. But there's an area in which diet is not good, and that's in our spiritual life. As a matter of fact, if we listen carefully for our text for today, the Lord told Jeremiah that the prophet is to tell the people all the words that God has given him. And the injunction is, do not diminish a word. Don't cut back. No substitutes. And that brings me to the theme for today's sermon, Know God Light, and that's L-I-T-E. And I'll develop that in 3 points. Point number one, speaking God's word. Point number two, listening to God's word. And point number three, living God's word. Now, Jeremiah the prophet lived about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And God called Jeremiah to tell God's people that they had sinned, and unless they would repent, God was going to destroy their temple and their city. And basically that was Jeremiah's message for about 40 years of ministry. You can imagine Jeremiah was not what you would call Mr. Popularity. Jeremiah was to preach the entirety of God's word, all the law, all the statutes, all the commandments, and he wasn't to leave anything out. As far as God was concerned, there is no light or diet version of his word. Of course, the injunction to speak all of God's word is nothing new. It wasn't new to Jeremiah. We read of God's command to Jeremiah in the very first chapter of Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you before them. And here, what God is saying is, Jeremiah, you're going to need strength to do your job, and I'm going to give it to you. Don't be dismayed. In other words, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, don't be embarrassed. Because if you are embarrassed or ashamed, then God said he would embarrass Jeremiah before all the people to whom he was to be speaking. Jeremiah was to get his power from the Word of God itself. And that's the very Word which made the world in 6 days. This is the very Word which can slay, but it can also make alive. And ultimately, it is the Word which becomes flesh to dwell among us, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And of Christ, the writer to the Hebrews says that he, Jesus, upholds all things by the power of his Word. Through that Word, he will uphold Jeremiah and all who faithfully preach the full content of God. No God light here. This is indeed the Word which can also slay. It is the Word of law which condemns and places all people by nature under condemnation. It is the Word which declares, "Be perfect, for I, the Lord your God, am perfect." It is the Word which should confront us each and every day. But if we hear the word of condemnation, how much sweeter when we hear the word of forgiveness. God says that people will repent of their evil way, then he, God, would repent or change his mind of the destruction which was to come upon them and give forgiveness instead of destruction. The writer to the Hebrews put it well when he wrote, "The word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Nothing's hidden from God. Now, some people might think that's a threat, but you know, it's a promise. If nothing is hidden and we confess our sins, he is faithful and he will forgive us our sins for Jesus' sake. Thus, when we speak God's word, we speak the full counsel of God, no God light. And now the second point is listening to God's word. But what was the reaction of the people who listened to God's word as it was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah? Well, the reaction of the people was, how should we put it, quite negative. Perhaps their self-esteem was damaged after all. Who wants to be told that they sinned, they've sinned against God, they've sinned against their neighbor, and they've sinned against themselves? Now, in this section of Jeremiah, there's no catalog of specific sins, and perhaps that's just as well, because here we can focus on the natural reaction to hearing God's word of law. And the natural reaction is one of rejection. By nature, not only don't people understand the word of God, but even if they do understand it, they reject it. People whine. They say, "I'm not that bad." Perhaps they make excuses. Perhaps they say, "I can't help it. I was born that way." And I heard a great retort to those who say, "I was born that way." And the retort is, "Well, then be born again." Matter of fact, that's exactly what Jesus told Nicodemus, isn't it? By nature, Nicodemus could not understand God. And he had to be born again, born from above, by water and the Spirit. And apart from the birth offered by Jesus, the reaction is exactly the same as we read in Jeremiah 600 years before. And it's the exact same reaction we can hear in the Word today, 2,000 years later. The reaction was to demand Jeremiah's death. They weren't going to repent. Matter of fact, they weren't even going to acknowledge that their ways were not God's ways. Rather, they wanted to demand the death of the messenger. And maybe they thought that if they could kill the messenger, then they wouldn't have to hear uncomfortable truths. Now, if we continue to read, we see that at this point, godly men persuaded the crowd that Jeremiah was indeed sent from God, that he was indeed speaking God's words, And this was not appropriate. Jeremiah was spared, but only for that day. Continue to read the book of Jeremiah and you'll find out things do not end well for an earthly perspective for the prophet. But yet on another day, 600 years later, God's own son heard the cries of the crowd, the cries of those who would not repent, the cries of those who did not want to either hear God's word or see the word made flesh. And they said, "Crucify him." And the Roman governor and his soldiers obliged. In Jeremiah's day, the people wanted to trust in the temple and in Jerusalem itself. They thought that this was akin to having a good luck charm, like having a lucky rabbit's foot. Lucky for us, maybe not so much for the rabbit. Or maybe like getting a four-leaf clover. And I've used the jingle before. It's like a jingle I heard. Maybe not around here, but when you live in colder climates, one can say, "I don't care if it rains or freezes, just as long as I've got my plastic Jesus on the dashboard of my car." People would rather put their trust more in the externals rather than go through all the bother of acknowledging sin and turning to God and repenting. Thus today, if you tell people of sin, people will say more often than not, "Well, that's your opinion." Or perhaps, "There are so many ways to God." But you know, there aren't many ways to God, nor are there many opinions when it comes to God's word. Jesus says, "Scripture cannot be broken." What does that mean? It means it can't be watered down, it can't be dumbed down to people's liking. There's no such thing as God-like. And Jesus went on to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There aren't many ways to God. There's only one way, and that way leads through the cross of Christ and not through plastic tokens. That's why we have to listen to all the counsel of God and not just take God-like. And finally, the third point is living with God's word. Thus, we are called by the Holy Spirit to live with the living word of God himself, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus gave a command to his apostles, and it is a commission to each one of us as well, that we should be teaching his followers to observe all things that he has commanded. And lo, Jesus says he is with us until the end of the age. Jesus told them, the early apostles, and he tells us that he lives through the words which he taught during his earthly ministry. And he doesn't live through some of the words, but he lives through all of the words. He doesn't live through God-like. He lives through holy baptism, by which we are baptized into his death to die to sin, and into his resurrection to rise to newness of life. And this is the new birth about which he spoke to Nicodemus, and he would have all of us share as well. This is the word that says, while yes, we are sinners, but there is forgiveness in the very blood shed by Jesus for each one of us. This is the reassurance which he gives us when he celebrates that supper which he has instituted for us, Holy Communion, in which he shares with us his true body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. To receive that full assurance, we must also receive the fullness of God's word. Jesus tells us to observe everything. Don't leave anything out. There's no such thing as God-like. What's the danger if we leave things out? It's more than merely not obeying God's command, as if that were not bad enough. But it really means that we've shifted the focus from God to ourselves. That we figured out God couldn't have meant everything he said. Let me edit it according to my sinful nature. And if we shift our focus from Christ and shift it to ourselves, then somehow we have to start working out our own salvation apart from Christ. And then we realize that our strength is not what it appears. Not only are we left to question our strength, we can be led astray by externals, such as the equivalent of trusting in the temple, trusting in a holy city, or perhaps in a particular church, or trusting in the rabbit foot externals like a plastic Jesus. But our Savior promises to be with us even in our weaknesses. And thus we listen to the explanation of the third article of the Creed and the Catechism. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. God doesn't want us to depend on ourselves. He has sent his Holy Spirit to call us through the gospel, to call us through God's word, to point out the sacrificial and atoning life that Jesus led for us. And he has given it to us in his word, in all of his words. And here is where he promises to be with us until the end of the age. Where to pity those who serve up God light. I remember back in September 1988 when we were in Canada. A Swiss Air Jets Flight 111 flew out of New York going to Geneva, and because of an electrical malfunction, it crashed in the Atlantic Ocean near Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia. Everyone on board was lost. And so there was going to be a public memorial service. And the government of Canada told the two officiants, a Catholic priest and an Anglican priest, they were, in effect, to preach God light. They were not to say the name of Jesus. And unfortunately, those two clerics followed the government rather than follow God. But you know, if you preach God light at a funeral, if you leave out Jesus Christ, what hope is there? Because in the face of death, God only speaks words of life through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. In the face of death, we need Jesus Christ because, as Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Neither death nor life. And thus, without Christ, to preach God light is to preach a future which has no hope in the face of death. God is quite realistic. And he tells us again and again in his word, here as well as elsewhere, there is no diet version, there is no God light that is acceptable to God. And the end of trying to serve up God light is spiritual anorexia or bulimia, spiritual illness or death. But God gives us a better diet. No diminishing, no omission of God's word is what God told the prophet Jeremiah. And it's what he would tell us this day as well. And this finds its fullness in the Word become flesh, our Savior Jesus Christ. And he offers us the forgiveness, the richness that he has won for us through his cross. And here, the riches of God's forgiveness indeed give life and salvation. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now turn back to page 12 of the four-part of our hymnal, and we join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory, and at the end of the offertory we shall receive the offering. Everlasting God, who art worthy to be had in reverence by all the children of men, we give thee most humble and hearty thanks for the innumerable blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which, without any merit or worthiness on our part, thou hast bestowed upon us. We praise thee especially that thou hast preserved unto us in their purity thy saving word and the sacred ordinances of thy house. And we beseech thee, O Lord, to preserve and extend thy kingdom of grace, and to grant unto thy holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach thy word with power, and help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and open the door of faith unto all the heathen and unto the people of Israel. In mercy remember the enemies of thy church, and grant unto them repentance unto life. Be thou the protector and defender of thy people in all time of tribulation and danger, and may we, in communion with thy church, and in brotherly unity with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow thy grace upon all the nations of the earth. Especially do we entreat thee to bless our land and all its inhabitants and all who are in authority. Cause thy glory to dwell among us, and let mercy and truth, righteousness and peace everywhere prevail. To this end we commend to thy care all our schools, and pray thee to make them nurseries of useful knowledge and Christian virtues, that they may bring forth the wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine. Protect and prosper everyone in his appropriate calling, and cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be thou the God and the Father of the widow and the fatherless children, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the forsaken and distressed. Accept, we beseech thee, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before thee, which is our reasonable service. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would be with the teachers and the pastors of our synod who have received calls, as well as those churches and schools which are calling them. Send to all an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, that those who have been called may see where their talents may best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and also that those who are calling may not lose heart and their vacancies. Be with those who are traveling this day to services. Set your holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. We continue to ask that you would bless our state with rain that is needful here and snow in the Sierras. We would ask that you would be with those whom we know and those for whom we pray who are ill, letting your hand of healing rest upon them, giving them that strength which is needful for body, soul, and spirit, and blessing those in the medical arts who minister unto them. To this end, we especially pray for Nancy, Roy, Alec, Judy, Cindy, Jean, Marlene, Dawn, Linda, Carla, Kurt, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn's friend Sue, Dawn, Richard, Sue, Rachel, Ruth, and James, as well as those whose names are on our hearts, which we lift up unto you now. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by a true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work thou hast given us to do while it is day, before the night cometh, when no man can work, and when our last hour shall come. Support us by thy power, and receive us into thine everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost forever and ever, and who hath also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. Amen. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. With the singing of hymn 53, Abide, O Dearest Jesus.